Zechariah chapter 8. Zechariah is the 38th book in the Bible, right next to Malachi. And then after Malachi, you're where? You're in the New Testament. Over here. Yeah, up front here. All right, Zechariah chapter 8, verse 1. And then the word of the Lord of hosts came, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, I am exceedingly jealous for Zion. Yes, with great wrath I am jealous for her. So, Father, as we look at this and the balance of the chapter this morning, we pray your blessing upon the reading and the teaching of the Word of God. And may we have an ear to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Chapter 8 of Zechariah, it continues the story that was begun in chapter 7. There was a delegation of Jews from Persia that had remained there after the Babylonian exile. And they came to Israel, they came to the priest in Jerusalem, and they had a question. They said, should we continue to fast in the 4th, the 5th, the 7th, and the 10th months? And they fasted in the 4th month to commemorate the fall of Jerusalem in 587 BC, in the 5th month to commemorate the ruin of the temple at that same time, in the 7th month to mourn the murder of Gedaliah. And if you've read Jeremiah, you know that he was the governor of Jerusalem and that area after the Babylonians had destroyed the temple and the city. And then they fasted in the 10th month to commemorate the siege of Jerusalem, which happened a couple years before the fall of Jerusalem. So they had all of these fasts that they had going on, and they wanted to be in step with the religious calendar of the Jews in Jerusalem. So the Babylonian Jews, they observed these fasts, but the Jerusalem Jews did not. And so the question was, now with the Babylonian exile over, is all this fasting really necessary? Do we need to go through all of this? Should we, they were basically asking, should we mourn the losses of the past? Should we grieve over our wounds and our failures of our history? Is this what God wants us to do? Should our annual calendar commemorate loss and failure and defeat and judgment and wrath? Does God want us to fixate on all the failures and the wounds and the judgment of the past? So that was the basic question. And so far in chapter 7, Zechariah has given three responses. The first response was this, is that these fasts weren't from me. You guys made them up. I never told you to fast in the 4th, 5th, and 7th, and the 10th month. You made them up. They weren't from me. They weren't for me. You weren't fasting for me. You were fasting for yourselves. Nor were you fasting to bless other people, because they kept you from healing the brokenness and the woundedness of others. And so that's Zechariah's message so far out of chapter 7. And now we move into chapter 8. And there are 10 times in chapter 8 where it says, like it says at the beginning of verse 2, Thus says the Lord of hosts. It says that 10 times. So I have a 10-point sermon for you this morning. And you can turn to your neighbor and say, yikes, I sure hope that doesn't mean what I think it means. But yeah, I have 7 reasons, 1 conclusion, and 2 results that come out of chapter 8 here. And we're going to move through this rather quickly. In verses 1 and 2, God says, I'm jealous for Israel. I'm jealous for Jerusalem. I am for you, the Lord is saying. I want this for you. I want you to come together. I want you to rebuild the temple. I want the city to be rebuilt. And listen, I am for you. I'm jealous with you, for you with wrath. You know, we sing that song, Reckless Love, or God's Love is Reckless. There's no shadow why it won't light up. There's no mountain, you know, I won't climb up. Man, there's nothing I won't do to get you reestablished in the land. God says, I'm jealous for you. In verse 3, we have a thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion, and I will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, And then Jerusalem will be called the City of Truth, and the mountain of the Lord of Hosts will be called the Holy Mountain. So in the first reason was that God's jealous for Jerusalem, and the second reason is that God's presence is in Jerusalem. I'm for you, the Lord says, and I am among you. I'm going to come, and I'm going to return, and I'm going to dwell in Jerusalem in truth and in power. And truth and holiness are going to define who you are and what you are. So far, there's two reasons that he's giving these scriptures, he's giving these reasons to answer the question, should we fast in the 4th, 5th, the 7th, and the 10th months? And he's building up to the answer, but he's laying out the reasons now. He says, I'm jealous for you, and my presence is going to dwell among you. In verses 4 and 5, it says this, thus says the Lord of hosts, old men and old women will again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each man with his staff in his hand because of age. And the streets of the city will be filled with boys and girls playing in its streets. And so here's the third reason, is that my joy is going to be in Jerusalem. My health, my wholeness, I'm jealous for you, my presence is among you. I'm going to place my joy upon you, says the Lord. He says in verse 6, thus says the Lord of hosts, if it is too difficult in the sight of the remnant of this people in those days, will it also be too difficult in my sight, declares the Lord. And so in verse 6, he declares his power. And the Lord is saying, I am above you. Don't allow your human reasonings to put limitations on me. You're thinking that I can't do this, but I'm thinking I can. You say it's beyond me, and I'm saying, no, it's not beyond me. If it's too much in your sight, it's not too much in my sight. And some of you are going through stuff right now that it's too much for you. But the Lord says, I can handle it. I've got you covered. And so the reasons he's laid out so far, I'm jealous for you. My presence is among you. I'm placing my joy among you. My power is going to move among you. Verses 7 and 8. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I am going to save my people. That Hebrew word is Yeshua. I'm going to visit my people with salvation from the land of the east and from the land of the west. And I will bring them back, and they will live in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. And so God says, my salvation is going to bring back the exiles to Jerusalem. I will Yeshua, I will save you from your bondage, and I'll bring you back to this place. And so my joy, my power, my presence, my jealousy, my salvation, I've visited upon you. Then in verses 9 through 13, thus says the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, you who are listening in these days to these words from the mouth of the prophets, those who spoke in the day of the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, to the end that the temple might be rebuilt. For those days there was no wage for man or any wage for animal, and for him who went out or came in there was no peace because of his enemies, and I set all men one against another. But now I will not treat the remnant of this people as in former days, declares the Lord of hosts, for there will be peace for the seed. The vine will yield its fruit, the land will yield its produce, and the heavens will give their due. And I will cause the remnant of this people to inherit all these things. And it will come about that just as you were a curse among the nations, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so I will save you, that you may become a blessing. Do not fear. Let your hands be strong. So God says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to pour out my blessing, my providence, all of my provision upon you. And so should we fast in the 4th, 5th, 7th, and 10th months? Well, listen, I'm jealous for you. My presence is among you. I've set my joy among you. I'm using my power to bring you back. You've been visited with my salvation. You're experiencing my blessing. And then in verses 14 through 17, we have the seventh point of chapter 8. For thus says the Lord of hosts, just as I purposed to do harm to you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, says the Lord of hosts, and I have not relented, so I have again purposed in these days to be good to Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Do not fear. These are the things which you should do. Speak the truth to one another. Judge with truth and judgment for peace in your gates. Also let none of you devise evil in your heart against one another, and do not love perjury. For all those, for all these are what I hate, declares the Lord. And so God says, my goodness is upon you. I'm going to visit you with my goodness. I'm going to reverse my judgments. You reverse your injustice. You reverse your unrighteousness and experience my goodness in the land. Then verses 18 and 19. Here's the conclusion then of these arguments that Zechariah has been making. Then the word of the Lord of hosts came to me saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth, the fast of the fifth, the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth months will become joy, gladness, and cheerful feast for the house of Judah. So love, truth, and peace. And so the fasts are to become feasts. Should we fast in the fourth, fifth, seventh, and tenth months? Zechariah's answer is what? Let's start at verse 1 again and go through it. No! Don't fast in the fourth, fifth, seventh, and tenth months. The fasts will become feasting, the Lord says. Listen, I'm jealous for you. My presence is among you. I've set my joy within you. My power is bringing you back. I've given you my salvation, visited you with my blessing, and you've experienced my goodness. Good grief, why would you fast in the face of all of that? Don't you know what day it is? It's not a day for fasting. It's not a day for mourning. If you were to experience all of that, you're not to fast. You're not to go into depression. God's been so good to you. God's been so good to me. God's blessed me. God's just poured out His blessing upon me. His hand's been upon me. The Spirit's been poured out. I'm going to go mourn and fast and just grieve. Don't you know what day you're living in? Zechariah would say to them, I'm being good towards you, and you want to fast, and you want to mourn. You don't know what day. It's like when Ezra and Nehemiah were reading the book of the law before the people, and the people began to weep, and they began to mourn. And Ezra said, don't you guys know what day it is? It's not a day for mourning. The joy of the Lord is your strength, because I've poured out myself upon you. The favor of God upon you, it doesn't call for fasting, but it calls for feasting. And the response to the zeal and the blessing and the goodness and the power and the joy and the presence of God, again, it's not fasting, it's feasting. But their response, it focused upon all the judgment and all of the curses of the past. God wants them to focus on what's happening in the present, but they're fixated on what's behind them and not what's in front of them. It's like, you know, a windshield. Probably the average windshield might be 15 square feet, and the average rearview mirror would be like 15 square inches. And so you got this huge window, you know, to the future. You got this huge window to what's in front of you and all the promise that's there. But some people, they just fixate on the rearview mirror. And, oh, that happened to me, and oh, that happened to me, and oh, I can't believe I did that, and I can't believe he did that, and I can't believe she did that. And you're constantly looking in that rearview mirror. And God's given you the promises of God, His blessing, His Spirit, salvation in Jesus Christ. And He's opened up the future to you and to me. But these Jews from Babylon came, and they're just fixated on the fourth, the fifth, and the seventh, and the tenth months, which were really more than 70 years behind them. they're stuck in that place. And they can't seem to get out of it. And Zechariah is saying, man, fix your eyes on all that God has done. And if God has done that for the Jews returning to Jerusalem after the Babylonian exile, how much more has he done for you and me in Jesus Christ? He carried all of our sins, took all of our punishment. The stroke that was due to us, it fell upon him. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has laid upon him all that was due to us. The stroke that was due to us, it fell upon him. He took that for us. And he didn't stop there. He said, I'm going to pour out my Spirit upon you. I'm going to give you eternal life. And I'm going to come and live inside you. I'm going to put you in a family. And I've chosen to use you as my sons and daughters, as my servants. I've poured my Spirit out upon you, that your old men may dream dreams, your young men may have visions, your sons and your daughters might prophesy. Look at what all God has done for us in Jesus Christ. They just can't see, though, what God is doing. And so Zechariah has to spell it out in those seven, you know, thus saith the Lord, I'm jealous for you, I'm among you, I've given you my joy, my power, my salvation, my blessing, and my goodness. I pour all of that out upon you. Have you ever sat behind someone who has their brakes on at a green light? Yeah. I'm thinking, let's go. Do you know that, and I counted it, if I have to wait half a second, I get impatient. Can you imagine all the work I could have gotten done in that half second? Had that car just gone, you know, and they're just sitting there. I'm thinking, good grief, the light is green. It's go. There's nothing in front of you. There's no one coming from the cross streets. Let's go. But that represents the Babylonian Jews that came and said, should we fast in the 4th, 5th, 7th, and 10th months? God said, it's green light for you. There's no one in the street in front of you. Go! But they've got their foot on the brakes. We just can't seem to get past this intersection. We just can't seem to get past this wound and this failure in our lives. You know, some of you are fixated on your past failures. Either the sin of others against you, and you're always looking in the rearview mirror. I remember when you did that. I remember when you did that. And you just won't let it go. Or it might be the condemnation of the devil, where you look in the rearview mirror and you think, boy, I can't believe I did that. Yeah, it's been 5 years, it's been 10 years, it's been 20 years. I just can't believe I did that. And boy, it's put the brakes on your Christian life. And where God's given you a green light through the sacrifice of Jesus and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and his calling upon your life, your feet are on the brakes. In a sense, you're living in fasting mode. You're not going to enjoy the goodness of God. Should I, in the 4th, 5th, 7th, and 10th months, refrain from enjoying the blessing of God? And God says, oh no. Zechariah says, oh no. He definitively answers the question in chapters 7 and 8. It's not a time for fasting. It's a time for feasting. The judgments are removed, and therefore the fasts associated with those judgments should be done away with also. And that's kind of the logic behind Zechariah's response to them. So, seven reasons, one conclusion. The fast should become feasting, and now there's two results that emerge from that. Verse 20. Thus says the Lord of hosts, it will yet be that peoples will come, even the inhabitants of many cities. The inhabitants of one will go to another, saying, let us go at once to entreat the favor of the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will also go. So many peoples and mighty nations will come and seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to entreat the favor of the Lord. You know, it's only after fasting became feasting and mourning has turned to dancing that the nations turned their attention to what God is doing. No one was paying attention to what was happening in Israel. No one was impressed with Israel's God. When their foot was on the brakes and the light was green, when they were mourning, when they were fasting, when they were bummed out, when they had their eyes on the rearview mirror, no one was impressed with what was happening in Jerusalem with the Jews. But now that the fasting has turned to feasting, the mourning has turned to dancing, the ashes have been replaced with the garland what's that phrase? You Isaiah readers? All right, we're going to start reading Isaiah now. So, anyway, a garland of beauty, you know, the flowers. All of that has been replaced. Now, people are looking for, just so you know, that's not Jerusalem there on the picture there. But they're looking at that, and they see this party going on. They see the feasting. They see the joy. They see the blessing and the goodness and the salvation of God. And they're going, boy, I want to be part of that. When everybody had their heads hung, moping and mourning and fasting, you know, I don't want to hang out with you when you're fasting. Hey, Tim, want to come over to my house tonight? And, oh, yeah, we're going to have for dinner. Oh, we're not. We're going to fast. Oh, you know what? I think I have emergency counseling at the church. Or, oh, you know what? I just looked at my car. It has a flat tire, and I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't want to come over to your house and fast. I want to come over, and I want you to put on a feast. I want you to have some ice cream and some pie. I want to play cards or something. I want to sit around in fellowship. I don't want to come over and mourn my sins and fast. You know, I can do that before the Lord on my own. But when we get together, man, I just want it to be a party. And so now the nations are looking at Israel, and they see that they've gone from fasting to feasting. And now they're interested. Because people are hungry for God. They have enough mourning and depression and fasting on their own. They're hungry for the life of Jesus inside of you. So the first result here is that the nations seek Jerusalem. And then we have the second result in verse 23. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days 10 men from all the nations will grasp the garment of a Jew, saying, let us go with you, for we've heard that God is with you. So not only are they seeking God, that they're grabbing those who know God. And they're saying, take us to that place of joy. Take us to that place of salvation. Again, the nations, the people are hungry for God. And the reason that they grasp the garment of a Jew is that the Jew is living in the goodness and in the blessing and in the joy of the Lord. It was that caught their attentions, caught their attention. Now listen, and I need to be careful here, but the nations did not say, we love your truth, we're persuaded by your logic. They said, we're hungry for God, and we love the joy that we see in you. We love the feasting. We love the release of the Holy Spirit in your life. We love that you're a people that love God and know how to live in the joy of the Lord. Now, obviously, we all believe in apologetics and logic and reason and all that, but it's not that. It's not that that persuaded the nations to seek the God of Israel. It was the party that was going on. It was the joy, and it was the release. And so you who are stuck in the past due to your own sin, due to the offense of others against you, God's calling you into His joy. God's calling you into His salvation. God's calling you into His forgiveness. And you may say to the Lord, should I grieve what my ex-wife did to me 15 years ago? Should I continue to mourn what my boyfriend did to me 10 years ago? You know, we have that phrase, forgive and forget. I believe in the first half of it. I think the second half is just psychologically impossible. You'll always remember what your ex-wife and what that former boyfriend did and that fellow employee and that neighbor and that fellow brother or sister. You'll always remember that. But it doesn't have to have the sting in it. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, O death, where is your sting? Sin, where's your power? It's been taken out. And that failure on your part or the part of others against you in the past, the sting's gone. The power is gone. You can remember what they did to you. You can remember what you did to them, and you can remember that failure of your past. But you don't have to live in it. You don't have to live in condemnation by it, because Jesus Christ has set you free. He's dwelling among you. He's jealous for you with great wrath. He set His joy upon you. He saved you. His goodness and His blessing is all upon you. Should you grieve the sins of the past? Zechariah would say no. The Holy Spirit would say no. Christ would say no. Paul the Apostle would say no. We're just waiting for you to say no. I want to come into what God's doing. I want to look through the windshield that's in front of me. I want to take my foot off the brakes and put on the accelerator. And I just want to go into God's future for me. You don't have to be bound by your past. This is the message of Zechariah to those Jews that came to him from the Babylonian exile. God has set you free. In Christ, God has set you free. That doesn't mean you're irresponsible. That means you remember. But it also means you know the depth of your sin, but even more, you know the depth of Christ's sacrifice for you. You know the extent of God's power in your life. And God's calling you to go forward. Even as He was calling these Jews from the Babylonian exile, come out of that. Come out of the fasting of the 4th, 5th, 7th, and 10th months and come into the joy of the Lord. Now, it's very possible that some of you are bound this morning by sin and by guilt. You've never confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've never given your heart and your life to Jesus Christ. The Word of God says that you're a sinner. You need salvation. I can't go to heaven the way that I am. You can't go to heaven the way that you are. We need Christ to forgive us of our sins, to live inside of us. And when that happens, Jesus says, I am in you, you are in me, we're in the Father. Boy, we're already in heaven in a real sense. I'm not going to inherit eternal life. I have eternal life now because Christ lives in me. God dwells in me. God dwells in you, those of you who've named the name of Jesus. But it's possible that you've never named the name of Jesus. Paul said, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. And maybe you've never done that before, but I want to give you an opportunity to do that. And those of you listening by live stream, I want to give you an opportunity also. If that applies to you, you've never made that good confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You've never made that good confession that you believe God raised Him from the dead and that Jesus is Lord. I invite you right now just to stand up right where you're seated. And by doing that, you're saying, Pastor, pray with me, pray for me. I want to make the good confession. I want to confess Jesus as Lord. I do believe that God raised Him from the dead. I do believe that His power and His strength is enough to set me free from my sin and from my guilt. Is there anybody here that wants to do that? You want to give your life to Christ? If you're listening by live stream, I'm going to pray a prayer. And if this prayer reflects your heart, pray it along with me that you can receive Christ into your life. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I need the forgiveness that comes through Jesus Christ. Jesus, come and forgive me. Come and cleanse me of all my sin. Holy Spirit, come and live inside of me. Strengthen me to live a life for Jesus. Jesus, thank you for your indescribable gift. And in Jesus' name, amen.